Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy to have Tricia Greenwood back on my show. Join us for a conversation about living a creative life and hear three of my favorite songs from Tricia's new album during the show. Welcome, Tricia.
Well, thank you for having me.
I am so happy to have you back on. I think it's been maybe 5 years since you and Stephen were on before. Time goes by so
That's
fast.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like, to me, it's a reminder always that we need to be in the moment as much as we can during life and just enjoy the moments, because life's made up of all the different moments, and God, it just whizzes by, you know. It's so easy to get caught up in all the things that people want you to do and not be enjoying your life. And so, yeah, you definitely are a good example, though, of what it means to live your music, to live a creative life. And I'm so happy and excited to have you back on the show today. I've got three of your songs queued up to play, and I appreciate that you trust me enough that you're letting me surprise you with which ones they are. I've been doing that the last few shows, and it's been working out really well because it makes it more spontaneous, where the person doesn't know which ones are going to be coming up, and it makes it a little more fun that way. But,
okay.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to play the songs, and I would like to have you talk a little bit, though, about what your background is and how you got to where you are today before we start playing the songs.
Well, my background, let's see. I'm Italian-American. My grandparents on both sides came from Italy, Sicily. And brought up in a small village, upstate New York. And I just have to say that music was around me. My mother would sing around the house all the time. And, you know, she'd sing while we did the dishes, and she'd wash and I'd dry, and I'd try to copy her. And always mm-hmm. interested in being a singer, you know. But I didn't really have the confidence to get up in front of people, and it took me until, my goodness, let's say 2000 to really get out there. but here I am, and I'm releasing my new album, Under the Radar, with some originals and two covers, and with the help of Stephen C., my sweetheart and producer. Pretty amazing to have a producer as your sweetheart. It's great.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah, definitely.
But you can relate to that because you and your husband Dudley do music together, right?
Right, and I can totally relate to the part about being afraid to sing, because I think that the thing is that what I call living your music is living your heart's desires, really. It doesn't have to be music per se. It can be other things. But the thing is that the thing that's your music, the thing that you're supposed to do, is something that's so scary sometimes. You know, it's your heart's desire. Emmett Fox talked about that in a little book of his called Your Heart's Desire, about how the thing that you feel like you really, really want to do, but you're so afraid to tell people that you want to do because it's so important to you, that's your heart's desire. And I guess that's really what living your music means. It means to live your heart's desires. So I can totally relate. I mean, it took me to the first time I sang on a stage with my husband was 2014. It wasn't that long ago.
Wow.
And, yeah, and earlier on, he was always the one that played music, and then our son started playing music, and they both recorded songs with Robert, and I would go to every one of the sessions and be there and wish that I could be singing too. And I finally, in 2007, took singing lessons and started practicing singing, and so it's been a journey for me, you know, and I can totally relate.
Very interesting. Because by you saying, you know, your heart's desire, back in the 90s, I went to some concerts with some friends, and I was given this scripture, Psalm 37:4. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." And the desires of my heart, of course, were to just get a message out there with my lyrics and writing poetry, but I wanted to put it to music. And so then myself, I took guitar lessons and I took voice lessons. I took Italian opera, I took jazz, I took Broadway musicals, and I took private voice lessons. And I just put it all together to find my own voice and not sing like somebody else or try to copy anybody else. And that's the most comfortable for me to, you know, express myself, is to just be who I am and say what I feel.
Well, that, I believe, is what everybody needs to be able to do, is to be yourself and feel comfortable being yourself. And it's not that easy to do, really, for everybody, because so many people, it took me a long time to be myself. And, you know, I was in my 30s when I realized I needed to be myself, and it was a shock. It was like, oh, God, what is really important to me? You know, because I was so used to being a people pleaser up to that point. And also listening to other people when they would say that, oh, don't do that, you can't do that. Or like hearing my grandmother tell my mom when I was 12, she should forget about singing, and not realizing she just meant it wasn't practical, maybe. It just, I thought she meant I couldn't sing. So, you know, I don't know. It just, it's so important to be who you are. I think that's what.
Well, it's all about fear. You know?
What was that?
It's really all about, it's about fear.
Yeah.
You know, fear is false evidence appearing real, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like when I was taking my jazz vocal lessons at De Anza College in Cupertino here in California,
mm-hmm.
It's like I'd practice in the shower, and man, I could sing. I was so comfortable. I was like, yeah, I can do this. And then I get up in front of the class, and it's like this different voice came out. But then I just decided to just push ahead. And my vocal instructor, he said, "Tricia, when you are in your element," he says, there isn't anything you can't sing, you know. And I just, that, him saying that to me, just like give me wings.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, when you think about it, I remember when I took the singing lessons with Lenora Black, I think it Black is her last name, here in Marin, and so much of it's about breathing and how you breathe. And if you're fearful, that's when you don't breathe. That's why I always say breathe, smile, and have fun before I do my show or before I sing, because it's so easy to get that shallow breathing and that fearful breathing where you're not really breathing at all. And I think that, you know, the more you do it, the easier it gets. I found that to be true with Toastmasters. I've been in Toastmasters now for what seems like an amazing amount of time, over 15 years, and I'm one of the mentors now in our club. But you just have to keep doing it. You have to do what you love and keep doing it so that it gets more and more normal, seeming to say, oh, wow, I sing, or I do this, or to get up there and sing and not be totally self-conscious. So,
yeah, I actually am a vocal coach, and I've coached quite a few people. I decided that all the things that I learned, and then I got this book from Juilliard. It was like $125 for this book, and I thought, you know, the only thing that changes in life are the books that we read and the people we associate with. And if I can get this book and not have to go, because I don't have the money to go, and who knows if they'd ever accept me, I'm too old. But I basically learned so much through that. And, you know, I just love to teach, and I love to sing. And I'm so happy you're having me on your show today.
No, I'm happy to be talking to you about it. And, you know, I love I have both of your books right here in front of me, and I love the covers of both of them. But, you know, the Frazzle to Dazzle, How Not to Be a Victim of an Inexperienced Hairdresser. The cover art is so beautiful on that. And the whole idea of Frazzle to Dazzle, How Not to Be a Victim of an Inexperienced Hairdresser. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but I have something in common with you that I haven't really talked about much until lately. I've been starting to talk about it more. I used to work in a hair salon a long time ago. Yeah, seriously. I worked in Santos Hair Salon and one Embarcadero Center in San Francisco back in the early 80s through, actually the mid-80s, I started working with Dudley in his graphic design business part-time in 85, and then by 90, when our son was born, I was working full-time with him at that point. But yeah, I was really good at it, and I really got allergic to hairspray, and I wanted to do something else anyway, so kind of forced me in a different direction.
Well, I don't use hairspray unless it's for a bride, pretty much, and I use all natural products at my salon, and I have my own private salon because I can't seem to find anyone that will work with me that won't use chemicals, so that's just the way that goes. And Frazzle to Dazzle, the foreword on that, Alan Benfield Bush wrote that in there. He, I don't know, have you ever heard of ABBA products from years ago, ABBA?
Mm-mm.
Did you ever see those products? No? Well, that was his company. He's got a new company now, and, you know, it's called YHS, and he has a Facebook page with, like, over 110,000 subscribers. Pretty crazy,
mm-hmm.
but I met up with him in where was we? We were in L.A., Beverly Hills, and he's become a very good friend of mine. And I've just, you know, through the years, I've worked in New York, Houston, and here in California, and it's just, it's not work to me. It's a joy to cut people's hair and make them feel so great about themselves.
Well, you know what I liked the best about it? It actually was talking with the people. And I loved reading books about personal development and positive thinking and all these other things, and I was always talking to them about that. So it actually, when I look back on it, I mean, that was one of the things that took me in the direction of doing coaching. But it also was one of the things I loved about it is that we got to listen to music while we were working. And so, you know,
Yeah. It's
back to the music, you know, the music and talking with people. Those are some of my favorite things. And that's one of the reasons I enjoy doing my Blog Talk Radio show is because most of the time, well, not all the time, but most of the time there's music to play during the show. When I have musicians, I do also have authors and artists and other people on when I don't have music on the show, but there's still the talking part, and I love that.
The last chapter of Frazzle to Dazzle is called Inner Beauty, and I would have my clients read that chapter even before it was in a book. It was just printed out, and I swear I could see their countenance change right in front of me after reading it, and then I had people say, you should, you know, do more. And so that's when I decided to write my second book that I published last year called Beautiful Thinking, because, you know, what you are what you think. I mean, As a Man Thinketh, you know, it was one of my favorite books from when I was 16 years old.
Yeah. We're going to have to get together and talk about all the books that we've read over the years, because I have a feeling a lot of them are the same book.
Let's get back to the music.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I love that chapter in Frazzle to Dazzle, and I'm glad that you started Beautiful Thinking with that chapter, because it is such a huge part in how people look. I've noticed that before, that when they're talking about things that they feel like they have to do in life, they look like their whole life has been drained out of them. And when they start talking about what they love and what they're interested in and what gives them joy, it's like they turn, like, gorgeous. It's just so amazing to watch the difference in people.
I agree.
Oh, wow. I think it's probably a good time to start talking more about the music, though, so because I really, really, really want to make sure that we have time to do all of the songs and talk about your music, because one of the things I've noticed, and you said this too about music, that you wanted to express your deepest feelings and victory over circumstances. The thing is music is such a beautiful way to do it, and what we listen to over and over again gets ingrained in our mind. And I remember somebody telling me once that you learn more when you learn while you're laughing. And I think part of it's, I can't remember the percentage, but it's partly because you think about it and you start laughing and then you tell other people. But the same thing's true with music that's catchy. It's like you keep hearing it in your head over and over again. I've been hearing your songs over and over again in my head, not just in reality, because I like listening to them and I like the messages.
Oh, so, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm just telling you that because it's true. Anyway, I think what I'm going to do is cue up the first song that I have here, and then we'll talk about it a little bit, okay?
Okay, surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, you'll recognize it right away. Here we go. And it's only, just so everybody knows, it's only a little under 3 minutes.
But there's no escape. Loneliness is like a falling chain. I try to sleep, I keep it all inside. I dream of you and I close my eyes.
Well, there's some people on that you know.
I know. Why don't you talk about it a little bit, though? I love that song, I have to say. I was listening to it and thinking, you know, it's funny because you were saying some of the songs are basically all short, and it's funny that a lot of the songs that are short, it's like I want them to be longer, you know, because I just want them to keep going on, but you can just play them over again. So tell us about that song.
Okay, well, I'm going to make a music video to that song because my whole idea with that song was for soldiers and for you know, loved ones and families and students coming home for the holidays. And so that's what that one's about. Now, that was first recorded at Aaron Madsen's studio, and he played guitar on it. Mary Ellen Duell, she sang with me on that, on the background vocals. Harold Martin's on the bass on that song. You know Harold.
I don't think so, but I do know Mary Ellen.
Okay, all right. Keyboards was Eric Ian, and drums was Lauren Groves. Now, that I play guitar on that. I play my electric, my Les Paul on that. That was fun. So, and then Stephen C. remixed it and did some wonderful production on it for the remix for this album. So, yeah, I love that song too. It makes me want to dance.
Yeah, I love songs that make me want to dance and make me want to sing. And I remember, I don't know if you've ever read any of Sonia Choquette's books, but she's been a really great teacher of my life, and I loved her workshops. And she would always say, our spirit loves to move. And it's so true. It's our ego that's like holding still but our and doesn't want to move and doesn't want to sing and whatever, but our spirit wants to move and it wants to sing. And so... Yeah, seriously. So I mean, when you hear that song, your spirit goes, "Ooh, I want to sing, I want to dance, I want to be part of it." I love the idea, though, that what you said. I didn't realize that it was more than just you coming home when you were talking when I was first listening to the song. But now I have this expanded vision of what the song's about, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I've been collecting graphics. Pictures and video clips to create the video. I'll be working on that pretty soon. I'm just hoping so our soldiers come home soon, you know.
You what?
I'm hoping our soldiers come home soon.
Yeah.
From the wars, you know.
Oh, I know. It just breaks my heart when I risking their lives and being away from home all that time. It just, that's, you know, super hard. And then, you know, right now we're going through a time, obviously, where a lot of people wish they could go home and can't go home because of the frigging virus that's out there. But, you know, and the other thing that's done is it's made people realize how much they appreciate people that do cut hair and color hair. It's amazing.
I know, and I can't do it. My salon's been closed since March 16th.
Yeah, I know. One of my friends who's in my Toastmasters club has this gorgeous red hair that she'd been getting tinted in the city for years and years, and she lives in Sonoma now and has not had her hair colored in so long that she's decided to grow it out. She's got that really fast-growing hair, and she's got probably about 2 to 3 inches of gray hair now, and she's even done an Instagram about how she's going to grow it out. But she wears it so long, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to get all the red out, you know. But, yeah, it made me realize how much people do really appreciate people that, like you said, aren't inexperienced and don't make them into a victim
well,
when they
I
do
just,
their
I
hair.
Just wanna hit the- I want to hit on that for a second. The reason is when you go to beauty school, you have to just do what's on the state board for your testing. Mm-hmm. And the practical, which is putting on hair color, you actually put on, like, conditioner. You don't use actual hair color. So you just have to know how to apply it. Doesn't mean you know the theory about hair color or that you know the mathematics of hair cutting, because you learn 3 haircuts, and unless you go for advanced education, you're not going to know what to do with everyone that comes and sits in your chair, you know, and that's just a fact.
Oh, yeah, and then also, like, working in a salon with people that are really experienced. When I worked at Santos, he was an incredible hair cutter. He called himself Santos the Hair Cutter, but he was also really excellent at hair color, so I learned so much about hair cutting and color from working with him. You're right. It's not from what I learned in beauty school that made it so that I could do haircuts and color really well at all.
Exactly.
And then, you know, one of the biggest things I notice, though, is a lot of the people that don't listen to what their client wants. You know, there were a couple guys there that used to want to experiment on their clients.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, sit down, it's my hair, you know, and I'm going, no, it's not. You know, I had, I went to an advanced class with Sassoon for a week in the city when I was first living in Marin, and they cut all my hair off. I mean, it was like awful. It was shoulder length, and one length shoulder length before I went in there, and then they're like, no, we won't cut it all off. Like, I was in tears. I told them how much I hated it. It was like they're like chopped off all the hairs. There was like these little strings left, and my sister had gone to beauty college with me, and so I had her cut those off, and I had like a short boy's haircut basically for a while because I couldn't, you know. So I had a lot of sympathy, in other words, for how people felt about their hair, and if they wanted to do something I didn't necessarily agree with, that was their hair. So, you know.
Nothing worse than being a victim, and I have done so much corrective work for people that had their hair messed up at other places, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing this since the early 80s, so, yep.
Yeah. Oh, God, and corrective color is, yeah, it's a bear. And then so the people that are doing their hair at home, it's going to probably, a lot of people like you are going to have a lot of corrective color to do when we finally
yeah.
can go back and have our hair done.
Well,
anyway, wow. I'm just curious, though, your hair, is that naturally curly?
Yeah.
I thought
yeah.
that,
when
you
I,
know,
when
it's
I,
always
I
like
just,
that. It's, yeah, that would be a
yeah.
major, amazing perm if you had that as a perm. But I love your hair.
Oh, thank you. I was just telling Stephen the other day, and he didn't, I guess I never told him before, but I said, you know, when I was born, I was like big baby. I was like 9 pounds and 10 ounces. And my head,
oh
my. A full head of hair. And then my dad said the nurses took a ruler and they pulled the curls and measured my hair at 3 inches long and curled on my head.
You and I are kind of the opposite that way. You know, I've got Swedish and French in my background, and I've got this baby fine blonde hair, you know, that's so totally opposite. So I love the wild, you know, full curly hair like you have. That is so cool. It's the opposite. Okay, well, are you ready for me to play the second song?
Yeah, let's see what you got.
Okay. Let's see, I just have to get down to where I have it on the queue here. Okay, here we go. This one's just under 3 minutes also.
You don't really know his heart. If he's true when you're apart, tomorrow has come and gone. Tell him what's on your mind. Forgive yourself for being. You're too good. You're too good.
I love that song.
Yeah.
You're
well,
too
that
good.
One was produced by our mutual friend,
mm-hmm.
Robert Berry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Robert,
oh, my
wonderful.
Gosh. Yeah, I've known him since back in, I met him in the 1974. And, yeah, so I've known him for a long time. And he actually talked me into staying in beauty college when I first went to it. I hated it, and I didn't want to stay in, and he talked me into it. And I used to do his
I've
hair.
Always wanted to do his hair.
You've always wanted to do his hair?
Yeah.
Well, I used to be his hair cutter for a
no
long
way.
Time. Yeah, back, well, it was until around the time when I met my husband, and then I got married, and then Robert went off and did his own things. But yeah, I did his hair. I used to cut Paul's hair also in Permit, Paul from Hush. Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Jean from Hush took me to get my hair cut in a shag before I went to learn how to do it. It was so funny because, you know, he takes me and he goes, Carmen, chop it. And I've got the kind of hair that's so baby fine that, you know, when you try to make it stand up on top, it just flops over. Yeah, it won't do it. But I love the idea, though, of too good, you're too good, over and over again, because I was thinking about just recently about different albums and how you listen to songs over and over. I was thinking about when I used to work at Tower Records and was going to college down there, and some of the albums that I was posting on Facebook, different albums, just the covers of them. And Linda Ronstadt's album, Heart Like a Wheel, oh my gosh, you know, I remember playing that song over and over again, You're No Good. And When Will I Be Loved? You know, I mean, it's like you're singing that over and over again, and it's like with Law of Attraction, I look back on it and I think, whoa, you know, I mean, no wonder you're feeling unloved when you're singing that over and over again,
exactly.
You know.
Well, this song, I was giving a teenager in Los Gatos beginning guitar lessons, and one day when I showed up at the door, she's usually all excited, and that day she was kind of down. And so we went back into the back studio, and she had told me about a friend of hers who had been abused a little bit by a boy from school. And she was so upset. I said, well, I'm going to write it. Let's write a song about that. So I started writing it out. She goes, yeah. And she kept saying, you know, she's too good of a person for this to happen to her. And I said, well, we're going to call it Too Good. And she says, okay. And so then I walked into Soundtech Studios with Robert, and I just had, you know, vocal and guitar, and that was it. And I showed him the song, and he sat with me, listened, and then he says, you know, why don't we arrange it like this? And then he said, well, you know, if you want, I can produce the whole song. He played guitar, keyboards, bass, drums, I mean, the whole music is him, and he directed me in the vocal booth, and he is just a fantastic producer, and I was so happy and paid him well, and he gave me a decent deal. He's pretty awesome, and I love him.
Yeah.
I loved,
he's very awesome,
yeah.
Very fair, very fun, and super talented. Yeah, we've had
super
so much fun.
Talented.
Yeah, we had so much fun having him record all of our songs, and there's been over 35 of them, I think, at this point. I've lost track of how many that he's recorded for us, and every session has been fun, and every time we go home listening to the song over and over again, going, oh my gosh, he did such a great job. So, yeah, I have great memories.
Well, we're
going
to have to do a show where I interview you.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, I had Robert interview me one time a few years ago, and that was pretty interesting. I had him on my show as my interviewer. That was fun. Okay, now we're running out of time already, though. I mean, time's going by so fast, and I have one more song that I want to play, and then we'll talk about that, okay?
Okay, great.
And this one also is, this one's just over 3 minutes. It's just a little bit more.
I don't care if you take the long way around. You got the best love I've ever found. You got the love I need. So far, so sweet. Living in love. Two hearts meant to be.
I know I played it when you and Stephen were on 5 years ago, but I just love that song. And I have to say I love this album because I like all the songs. And it's I like that I love that you have these three that I played today on there so that I can just stick the CD in my car and I can just listen to the whole thing. And
oh,
wow.
Thank you, Margot. Yeah. I asked Stephen, I said, would you do a duet with me on this song? Cause actually, when I first met him, I was at a friend's house, our friend Steve Layton, and I was playing it in the other room, and he walked in, and he said, is that one of yours? And I said, yeah. He said, does it have lyrics? I said, yeah. He said, would you play it and sing it for me? And I said, yeah. And then he picked up some bongos, and he was playing to it, and so eventually we were in Moss Bay. We were out by the Hearst Castle, and we were staying up there, and we were in the room, and he had brought his, his mobile studio. We call it his million-dollar studio. And in the motel room, I played the guitar. I recorded the vocals, and then he went to work and put all the instruments to it and then sang it with me, and I just loved that song.
Oh, I love
And now it's on the vinyl album with Master Groove Cutters, which is our new business.
Oh, that's so exciting. We've only got 3 minutes left, so tell us about this Master Groove Cutters and about the vinyl album.
Well, Stephen and I went to Germany 2 years ago. Our partner, well, it's Stephen's partner, Rick Bolander. We have the business. He is the major partner with Stephen, and we went to Germany, where Stephen got trained, and it's been 2 years now that he's been perfecting, calibrating, reworking, doing the diamond gems, and working, trying the sapphires and the ruby gems to cut, and now he's doing platinum. We're going to be doing gold records. It's a very high-end, exclusive business. We're not doing just rolling them out. We're doing hand-cut, lathe-cut vinyl records. Or if you want to do mass production, we are doing the master lacquers that you can order at mastergroovecutters.com. And I just put a video up on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, Trisha Greenwood, that you can see him talk about it. And
well, that's exciting news.
Okay, I'm getting these beeps. I guess we're done.
We've got 2 minutes left.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where the beeps are coming from. I didn't hear them. So, yeah, we have 2 minutes left. So what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I'd like them to go to mastergroovecutters.com if they're a musician or they want to buy the vinyl album. I'd like them to go to heartspeakmusic.com to purchase either a CD or a digital download. And then any information and lyrics to the songs, and some of the lyrics have the chords to them if they want to play the songs, at trisha-greenwood.com. But I'd also, my book, Beautiful Thinking, I just want to say that, I thank God for everything, and I just hope that people come to a place of peace and that we all heal this nation and just the world. That's what I'm praying for.
Me too. Me too. Beautiful thinking and to be kind. Whew.
To be kind. People need to understand. To be kind means to be compassionate. To be compassionate means to be kind.
Yeah. Loving, kind, and creative. All three. That would be a wonderful world. Well, you're doing your part and with your books and your songs, and I really appreciate it. And I'm so glad that you decided to go ahead and sing and learn the guitar, because I really like your music and your songs. So thank you for living your music.
Michael.
Yeah, thank you for all the ways you live your music. And everyone out there, share this with your friends and your family. And
Please. Also,
get out there and live your own music. Live your music, everyone.
Everyone.
Thanks. Thank you, thank you,
thank you,
thank you, Trisha. Bye for now, everyone.
Hugs.
Bye. Hugs.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.